Thank God we are redeemed. We are all redeemed. Now, there might be someone here today who you are redeemed, but you might not realize it. You might not know that you're redeemed. And with that redemption, there's also a gift, a free gift, that comes with that redemption. And that free gift is salvation. And there's nothing that you can do to earn it. It's a free gift. All you have to reach out and get it. When someone gives you a gift, you know, what do? You just reach out and take it. They say, here, here's a gift for you, and you take it. So that's the way it is with salvation. A little bit later, if that's you, if you feel that you need to receive or that you want to receive that free gift, you're going to be able to do that. We're going to give you an opportunity a little bit later to receive that free gift of salvation. Amen. 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 Okay. I'm going to read a scripture now concerning a story in the Bible. It's found in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. And it's concerning how Jesus healed a paralytic man. Okay, part of it is going to be on the screen there. And it reads, "Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by and had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal." I'm going to read that again. "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and led him down with his bed through the toweling into the midst before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.'" And I'm going to read a little bit more. "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go home.' Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" So with that, I have a question for you. How far would you go to bring someone to Jesus? We saw what these young men, how far they went to bring their friend to Jesus. So how far would you go to bring someone to Jesus? Just keep that in mind as we look at this story. Here we have a powerful demonstration of deep friendship mixed with unwavering faith. First is faith in Christ, and then faith in the bonds of friendship. The scene begins with Jesus teaching inside a house surrounded by a great multitude. Now, as you know, in reading the Bible, you know that as Jesus traveled around through the land, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and casting out demons and unclean spirits, and forgiving sins, and performing all sorts of miracles. So it's understanding that there was always a crowd around him. There was always a crowd around Jesus as he was traveling to and fro. And now, that's not to mention all the people who were blessed by his teaching, which is what he was probably doing in the house where he was at that time. And so there's always a crowd around Jesus when he was teaching or when he was performing miracles or healing. And some examples of people trying to get through a crowd to Jesus. There's one in Luke 8, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 40 to 46, where the woman with the continued bleeding had to push through and work her way through a crowd. And she finally reached where Jesus was, and she just touched the edge of his garment, and she was healed instantly. So you can see why people made an effort to get to Jesus, even in a crowded situation. Another example was in Luke, Gospel of Luke again, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10, where this is the story of a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And he saw a crowd following Jesus. And he wanted to get close to Jesus. He wanted to see who this man was. But he was short, very short guy. And he couldn't get close enough, and he couldn't see over the crowd. So what he did, he knew the direction that Jesus was headed in, and he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a tree so that when Jesus passed by, he'd be able to see him. So when Jesus passed by there, he looked up and he saw him up in that tree. And Jesus is probably thinking, here's someone else with faith. And he told him, man, come on down out of that tree. You know, I'm going home with you this afternoon. And Zacchaeus, when he went to his house, went to his home, Zacchaeus was blessed. And he received salvation. He was saved. Yes. There's another example of in John chapter 5. There was another paralyzed man that needed help to be carried to the pool of Bethesda to enter the healing waters. Now, what happened at the pool of Bethesda, periodically, an angel would come down and stir up the waters, and whoever got into the water first, whatever infirmity they had, they'd be healed. So, but this particular man, he couldn't because he was paralyzed. But Jesus saw him there, and Jesus went to him and asked him, you know, Jesus knew that he couldn't get into the water. He couldn't make it. He couldn't take himself into the water. So it wasn't necessary. With Jesus there, it wasn't necessary for him to go into the water. Jesus healed him right there on the spot. And just like the other paralyzed man, he told him to take up his bed and walk. The man was healed, picked up his bed or his mat, and he walked and left, glorifying God as he left. So the paralytic in this story that we're looking at today and his friends, they showed up on the scene at the house where Jesus was inside teaching. And they were immediately discouraged because it was impossible to get their friend in to Jesus. But they were committed and believing that Jesus could do for their paralyzed friend. They had faith in what Jesus could do. So they made an effort to get their friend to Jesus. So they refused to give up. And they were undeterred by the crowd in that house. The house was full. People, even out the door, and they couldn't even get close. And so they were undeterred by that challenge. So they carried their friend up on the roof of the house, looking for a way to bring him to and introduce him to Jesus. Now, every time I read that story, or when I first read it, I thought, now, how in the world? They took him up on the house, up on the roof. So how in the world were they able to get him up on the roof? In Palestine in those days, when they built houses, they had a set of steps on the outside of the house. And so those steps would allow the homeowner to go up on the roof for various reasons. Some of them on the roof, they used the roof to dry grain, different grain that they farmed. They would take it up on the roof to lay it out in the sun to dry. So these friends, they demonstrated extraordinary resourcefulness and determination by dismantling the roof and lowering their friend and his mat down into Jesus' presence. Now, the roof, you might think, wow, they tore up somebody's roof. But back then, when they built houses, their roof, the houses were made of, a lot of them were made of stones, but up on the roof, they would make large slabs of mud mixed with straw. And so they were pretty large, probably about the size of this table. And then they would just lay them out like tiles on top of the roof. And so this paralyzed man's friends, they knew that. So they just started taking apart some of those tiles and so that they could lower their friend down in the presence of Jesus. Now, another thing that I thought about in this story, I wonder what the homeowner was thinking about. He's in there, and he's seeing these people take his roof apart. You know, today you'd probably say, hey, you know, you're going to have to pay for that. My insurance won't cover that, man. You know, so you'd probably say that. Now, but they did. They uncovered that roof and lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. And it's amazing because I have my own story about a broken, well, not the roof, but a ceiling. I had a company to come in and do some work on my AC system. And the young man that came out, he was about 20-something years old. And he had to go up in the ceiling, up in the attic, in order to get to the air handler to work on it, to see what was going on, why it wasn't cooling. And while he was up there, you know, he was going about doing whatever he had to do. And so I said, okay, I thought he was okay. And then I went into another room doing various things. And then a little bit later, I heard this crash. I heard this loud crash, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And my wife was downstairs. She said, honey, what's going on up there? You know? And so I went into the bedroom, and here is all this dust and debris, pieces of sheetrock on the floor, insulation all over the place. And I looked up, and there's this leg hanging out of my ceiling, okay? I mean, it's just like in the cartoons, okay? And I'm going, man, are you all right? Are you okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. I said, well, are you able to move? And, you know, I started pushing on his leg so he could take it back out. And he said, I'm okay, I'm okay. Then he came down the ladder and came downstairs where I was. And I said, are you okay? He said, yes, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then he started crying. He said, oh, please, please don't tell my boss. Please don't tell my boss about this. I told him, I said, well, look, you know, I mean, I have to tell somebody because somebody's got to fix my ceiling, you know? And he said, don't tell my boss because, you know, I'll get fired. And then he's crying. Then he started telling me about his personal story. He said, I cannot afford to lose my job. My wife is on drugs, and she has my four-year-old son. And the judge said that in order for me to get my son back, I had to demonstrate that I had a steady job so I could take care of him. So he's crying, and, you know, I'm there. I'm compassionate with him. And then I said, okay, come on, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. So I prayed with him. He's crying, and I'm praying with him. And so finally, we got done praying, and I told him, I said, okay, I'm not going to call your boss, but somebody's got to fix my ceiling. So he said, okay, I'll call him. So he called his company, and they made arrangements for someone to come out and fix the ceiling. So that was my own personal experience about a roof being torn out. And I thought about the homeowner of this house in our story about his response. I guess he was probably so enthused and so into what Jesus was teaching. You know, I don't know how he might have reacted, but I'm pretty sure he knew that things would be all right. Okay. So anyhow, the dedication of this paralyzed man's friends, it becomes a setup for a remarkable encounter. In response to their faith-filled initiative and resolve, Jesus demonstrated his divine authority by forgiving the paralytic man's sins and healing his infirmity. So I'm going to say that again. Jesus demonstrated his divine authority by forgiving the paralytic man's sins and healing his infirmity. I'm going to read that one verse again in verse 20. When he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven. So the miraculous healing serves as a testament to the power of faith and compassion of our Lord. It wasn't necessarily the paralyzed man's faith that impressed Jesus. It was the faith of his friends that impressed Jesus. Okay? And go back to the question that I asked you in the beginning. How far would you go to bring someone to Jesus? Could you demonstrate your faith? Could you allow Jesus to see your level of faith by bringing someone to Jesus? So that's something that we don't want to forget. We don't want to miss that. So, because Jesus saw their actions on behalf of their friend, but he also saw what no one else could see. They saw a man who needed healing, but Jesus saw a sinner who needed forgiveness. The men brought their friend for physical restoration, but Jesus knew he needed spiritual restoration. So he said to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. So forgiveness came first. Forgiveness came first before the healing. So therefore, getting right with God, it takes priority over getting right, getting your circumstances right. So I want you to think about that getting right with God, it takes priority over getting your circumstances right. Now, earlier, I mentioned that there would be an opportunity for you to come and to receive that free gift of salvation that's promised with your redemption. And we're making that offer right now, today. If you're here, now that you know that you're redeemed, there's that free gift of salvation that's awaiting you. And you can come right now. We'll pray with you. And as I mentioned, getting right with God takes priority over getting your circumstances right. So if you have circumstances that you need prayer for, that you need straightened out, if you have circumstances like that, come. But we want to get right with God first, so then he can deal with the circumstances. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the technical booth to play that last song again, Redeemed.
See, was the struggle haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures.
You can come if you need prayer for anything. You can come.
We have intercessors who will pray with you. And say to me, son, stop fighting a fight. It's already been won. And I am redeemed. You said me. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away. 'cause I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you again for coming out and being with us this morning. Okay, if that's it, I'll close with 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Have a blessed rest of your day. God bless.